Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2023 Valspar Championship. Should be a fun one in between all these elevated events. You can find myself on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. How did you enjoy the Players?
It was awesome. I watched it all weekend, so that was really enjoyable. And yeah, Scottie Scheffler, really good at golf, confirmed.
Really, really, really good at golf. Yeah. I was very angry because I'm in a one and done, and my buddy I talk to all the time, I'm like, it's between Morikawa and Scheffler. I took already.
Yes.
And I basically said, I could use Scheffler later for sure. This, like, plays Morikawa. If he can just putt, he'll be golden. Well, he putted great on Thursday.
He started hot. Yes.
Yeah. And then I looked at his stats each and other way around because I knew exactly what the problem was when he wasn't scoring, and it was his putter, because like he lost multiple strokes throughout the rest of the weekend, and it was just dreadful, dreadful stuff.
That's the weird thing about Scottie too. It's not like he putted out of his mind. I know going into the fourth round, he was like middle of the road, you know, kind of putting. But I mean, he's just so good tee to green and around the green, man. Is like he has such good chipping. The touch is awesome, and he's just like so unflappable. He just doesn't get up and down. It's really fun to watch him play golf because he's got a different swing. Like I wouldn't choose his swing, but his demeanor and his ability is right now probably the best in the world.
Yeah, no, they're both. He's pretty awesome. He's pretty amazing. Like unflappable, as you said, is a great way to put it. He's lights out. I even said it, I think, the week before at the API to the same buddy in one and done. He had Hatton, I had Rory, and he's like, yeah, one of us is going to get it. And then I'm like, I'm worried. This was like on Saturday. I'm worried about Scheffler three shots back because that's just who he is. Like he's just locked and loaded type dude, and he showed it this week at the Players. Just didn't matter what he did, he was just locked in. It was just some weird golf though, because especially on Saturday and Sunday, you saw a handful of guys going low, and then some guys you'd expect to go low not go low at all. It was just all over the board in production. It felt like, of course, we had a bunch of big missed cuts. You know, Keegan Bradley went full Keegan on Friday. To me, I call it full Keegan just when he blows up. I don't care if it's
right, I'm with you.
That he went full Keegan on Friday. And there were a couple other guys that kind of just like Rory just didn't look like he cared, like was locked in at all the entire week, like Thursday, Friday. There was just a lot of goofiness, ROM withdrawing with the shits. it was the typical of the Players, I guess, as you could say, but in the end, cream rises to the top again.
It did. I mean, the leaderboard was pretty stacked. You got Tom
on Friday. Tom didn't Ogie look that there, way, but
no, it didn't. No,
Friday
it didn't
look looked it, rough.
It didn't look like that way for the most of the tournament. I mean, you know, Hatton had to put just an insane 65 on the board on Sunday,
29 on the back
to climb up there. Hoagie shot, you know, 62 on Saturday to go from last to inside the top 10 there and finished T3. But Homa played solid like usual. The further down you go, you're more like, God, who are these fucking dudes? But at the top there, it was, you know, what we expect in these elevated events. But still a lot of randomness. It's just a lot of water on that golf course, a lot of trouble. I mean, there was a lot of balls in the water on 17. But a lot, three hole-in-ones?
I would say, yeah, we got the hole-in-ones, though. That's not usual for that, like, that setup. But yeah, the 17 was fun, seeing some of those balls go in, seeing some of them just kind of barely get caught up, just all kinds of goofiness. I'd love to play that because I know I'd just be a mental midget the first shot at least for sure. But
did you see they had a little short segment on like recording average golfers for the whole day? Yeah,
it was bad. Yeah. I believe it. I could see myself doing that. I
mean, it's just intimidating. That green is massive. And to these guys, you know, obviously they're trying to hit it to a certain yardage at a certain, you know what I mean? Like they know, but me, I get up there and I'm like, God, I can't hit this left or I can't hit this right or whatever. And then, yeah,
that's my problem. I pull it. That's what'll happen.
That's because we're mental midgets.
Yeah, so I was like, I know for a fact to be like, okay, I've had the pulls like on two of the last three holes. Don't pull it right because you know it's straight water, and then there it goes. Like that's where it is. Like the old saying, just visualize your shot and you'll be okay. Yeah, no, I'm visualizing it going that direction.
Have you seen how much it is around to play?
Is it like seven something?
Yeah, dude,
it's more than pebbles.
I'm going to Florida in April, and the guy I'm going with was like, "Hey, let's go play Sawgrass." I'm like. He's like, I get a discount. I was like, well, what's the discount? It's $490 a round.
It's still tough. That's tough.
Yeah,
it's still tough, though.
That's a lot of money for one round of golf.
Yeah.
I mean, and I play a lot of golf, and I don't care to pay to play at nice places. But $500 to me is like, it's just, I want to do it eventually, but I'm not going to do it while I'm playing it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's how I've said it with Pebble forever. I'm like, I want to be able to like play good golf.
What's Pebble?
It's around the 550-ish range.
Yeah, it's crazier than hell. I mean, like, you can go to Sweetens Cove all day and play for $175. And it's nine holes. I know it's different, but you can go to Landman, and I think we paid like $125 or $150 around there, and it's just awesome golf. So there's plenty of places to go. You don't have to go to these places, but eventually one day, I'm with you, I want to go play Pebble. I want to go play Sawgrass.
100%.
I think it's going to be whenever I'm retired.
That's where I'm leaning. Like one of those things, like, you know, you're playing enough where it's like, okay, like we got this figured out. It's not just like I'm playing once every 2 weeks and
I don't know where my
golf game is right now. Let's go throw $500.
Right.
No, I'm with you. Like even down where Pebble is, they have the Pebble Beach golf courses. There's like Spyglasses in there, but Poppy Hills where the NCGA is located. If you're a member, you can play for like $75. If you're not, it's like $160. It's still a great golf course. And it's just right down the road from Pebble. You just don't see the ocean.
Very reasonable.
Big deal. Yes, big deal. 100%. Like Quail Lodge is my favorite golf club ever. It's right down the road in Carmel. $155. I've seen that on YouTube. Yeah. So it's like they're all great golf courses. You just don't see the ocean. That's pretty much what it is. That's my buddy, who's a scratch golfer. I took him to play Quail, and he says he has it. He says top five golf course form he's ever played, better than Pebble. He said,
"Oh, really?"
Because Pebble's cool. It's nostalgic. You get to see the water, but this course is like the green. Like it's a golf course. It's a great golf course. I'm like, that makes sense. I'm with you there. All right, let's talk Valspar. This is a fun one. We always get some low scoring. This event is the best way I'll say it. Usually low scoring. What do you got for some past event history for the Valspar Championship?
Sure. So last year, Sam Burns won 17 under in a playoff over Davis Riley. I do not remember that. 2021, Sam Burns won 17 under three shots over Keegan Bradley. 2020 was canceled due to COVID. 2019 and 2018 was the Paul Casey year. So we've had four winners in the last four tournaments, and they've been back-to-back, which is pretty wild.
That's insane.
Paul Casey was 8-under, one shot over Kokrak and Louis Oosthuizen in 2019. 2018, he was 10-under, one shot over Reed and Tiger Woods. Adam Hadwin, past champion. Jordan Spieth, past champion. Kevin Streelman, Luke Donald, Gary Woodland. There's some names in there that are playing this week that have won this tournament. The weird thing is, and maybe you have some more insight about this, like, why are we getting the 17 under the last 2 years? Just playing soft? No wind?
Soft, little wind, rough wasn't penal, is what I've been told. That has been changed.
Okay.
That is
because I thought I saw something about the rough being grown out this week.
Oh, it's grown out. That's for darn sure. Okay. So, speaking of which, this is Innisbrook Resort, a.k.a. Copperhead. It's, got the snake pit on the back nine. You got some tough little courses here. We're still in Florida, of course. This is the end of the Florida swing, though, so keep that in mind. But as a par 71, 7,340 yards. But even though it's par 71, there's still four par fives, which is great. There's five par threes, very unique to a golf course, and they're all over 200 yards. So they're longer par threes. I think three of the five have bogey rates in the 20-ish percent range, give or take, which tells you everything you know about par three scoring on this golf course. Narrow fairways, a lot of off the tee shots. You need to lay up. So there's dog legs, or there's over 80 bunkers on this golf course that are positioned in good spots, not just around the green. Most approach shots will be within the 175-ish range, give or take. Maybe a little shorter, maybe a little longer, but that's a little bucket you can look at. Par five scoring is very, very critical. As I mentioned, the rough usually about 2.5 to 3 inches every year. It's grown out to 3 3/4, almost 4 inches now. That's like U.S. Open crap. That's ridiculous rough. The cuts around the green used to be 72 inches. The intermediate cuts, now they're 21 inches to bring the rough closer to the green, a.k.a. scoring difficulty there. The fairways are overseeded. They were not overseeded in 2021. And the landing areas with the fairways down to 22 paces apart. So they've really shrunk things compared to years past to make it feels almost like reading everything I read about the changes. It's almost like feels like a U.S. Open they're trying to do out here. A lot of trees, a lot of tree lined areas. Yeah. It's inside there. It's a tight course. The greens are fast Bermuda greens, similar to the greens we saw last week. You got to find the fairways. If you don't, you better be able to scramble. Let's put it that way. It's going to be very, very, you know, trivial here. And that's why usually the scoring is pretty low outside of the Sam Burns runs. And you don't have to be a bomber here because you want to be able to lay up and hit the right spots. So keep that in mind. It's a shot maker's golf course. What do you got for some stats here, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, just hit the fairway, hit the green.
Easy game.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's how I would imagine, you know, you do want some good short game scrambling because obviously you're not going to hit every green. The ability to get up and down. Par 5 scoring will matter as well with the 4 par 5s and the fact that it's a par 71 and then the fact that typically this is a difficult track. The last 2 years, I'm assuming, are just going to be outliers and they're going to make it more toward the minus maybe 10 range as far as winning. Do you have like cut history with those? Do they have that on Fantasy National?
Let me see. I probably do somewhere. I know I have it in this article I was reading.
That's all right.
Before. Yeah. If I find it, I'll let you know. It's usually, I think, around like the plus 2-ish.
Give or take. Yeah. So that's what I was. Yeah. Par is okay around here for the first couple
of
days.
Par is very good. I forgot to mention the par 4s. Most of them are over 450. And they also have like, there's 9 par 4s by if you do math quickly. And I think half of them have, you bogey more often than you birdie. Let's put it that way. So it's like you said, to what you said about the toughness of the course.
I'm with you.
All right. Let's have some fun. DK this week, at least unlike the Honda, we have, I believe it's 5 of the top 20 and like 10 of the top 50 in the world here. So that's pretty good. It's a decent look. We have WGC next week, the last installment of the WGC. I recommend anybody that has not listened to Mayo and Feinberg this week, listen to Feinberg's rant on the WGC. It is awesome. Just going to throw it out there. It's good stuff.
Is it that's on the like Valspar like picks?
The Monday video? Show. Yeah, okay. The one that dropped on Monday. He is not happy. That's
today's Monday.
Match play. Yes. It's the one dropped this morning, though. gotcha. So, yeah. Go check that out.
I guess if you're listening to this on Wednesday, it makes more sense when he says it's on Monday. Sorry.
I'll be here all week. Let's do DK scoring, though. We got DK 10K and above, JT at 10.9, Spieth 10.6. He's won here before. 2-time defending champion Sam Burns at 10.2, and Matthew Fitzpatrick, who on paper this place looks glorious for, but the current form's a little suspect at $10,000.
Yeah, this it's interesting above 10K, right? Because you got two guys who, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, proverbial just like in the mix to win about everywhere you go. You got Burns, who back-to-back defending champion, but is coming off an okay weekend at the Players. Before that was two missed cuts. It's difficult up here. I don't know that I want to really play anybody, but – couple things about JT. I played him last week. I played him too much, which is upsetting, especially at 30 fucking percent. He made the cut, just didn't do shit. Like, I don't know. I watched a lot of his rounds via the PGA Tour app and wasn't hitting anything great. So, I mean, can he figure it out? I feel like he can and be, you know, winning this week. But I think I'd rather play Jordan Spieth just from what I saw last week. And, I mean, you know, obviously he finished 19th last week, and before that was fourth of the Arnold Palmer. So he's having a pretty good Florida swing coming in and has won here in the past. I can't pay that much for Tim Burns. For Sam Burns with his current form coming in. You know, if he was like 90, like around 9,000, I would really love to play him, which makes him a good GBP play because maybe he figures it out this week. But I just don't see it yet at 10-2. He's got to win. And you tell me about Fitzpatrick, man. You're more of the Fitzpatrick guy than I am.
I love Fitz. I don't have him checked off right now just because of that price point. Again, I know it's because of the field strength, so things are going to vary. But, you know, the neck, he said, is still bugging him. He can play through it and everything. Like, it's a great course for him, but you can tell it's affecting him enough where he's just not, like, locked in like he usually is. And that's, like, even looking at his stats, I'm looking over the last 12 rounds, and it's just kind of like off the tee, he's eighth in this field. He's ninth in bogey avoidance, but other than that, he's like 20th to 60th. He's not like dominating any straight up category like he usually does. Yeah, like especially in his iron play. And that worries me in this event. Like he could, he's, I think I'd rather play him in a GPP than Burns. Burns will be the lowest owned. So I get your point there 100%. I think Fitzpatrick gets overlooked as well. So in a GPP, if you're playing like 20 max, I'd have a few. I'd say that much for sure. But if you're like 3 max or less, I'm not on the Fitz train this week. I'm pretty much just on Spieth like you. The JT just looks lost. Could he figure it out in 1 week? Of course. I'm not going to say that he can't. He could prove us all wrong at 10-9 and maybe get low ownership because of last week. But I'll play Spieth. If I play up here, I'm probably avoiding the 10K. I mentioned it in the Discord about an hour before we started recording the show. I probably won't even be up here. But if it is, it's Spieth. He's fourth in approach, fourth around the green, first tee to green in this field over the last 12 rounds. A lot of the key stats you're looking for right there. We know he can scramble his butt off. We witnessed it at the Players on Friday, besides hitting the guy in the knee and avoiding the water to get hit back into the fairway. Then he chips in for eagle to make like it was just a total Spiethian deal right there. I can't remember who tweeted it. It was so good, though. He's a guy that does a lot of golf content. And he basically said, you could have just told me a guy hit one off the tee, hit a dude in the leg, hit the fairway, chipped in for eagle, and my first guess would have always been Spieth.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's so true. It was awesome to see. But, yeah, back to the DK. If I have anybody, it'll be Spieth at 10-6. More than likely, I'm not playing up in the 10K range in this field. The other thing I put in the Discord, I love this 8K range and a lot of the 7K. So I'll probably be avoiding the 10K overall and kind of be more balanced this week. 9K range, Fleetwood at 98, Jay Rose at 96, Keegan at 94, Denny McCarthy, 93, Hadwin, 92, Harmon, who is also lost at 91, and then Davis Riley, who you mentioned finished second in the playoff last year here at $9,000.
Yeah, start up top with Tommy Fleetwood, 16th here last year, three straight made cuts. He did miss the cut, the Phoenix Open, whatever. They were talking about like him like just now finding his game. I mean, back in the fall over on the European tour, he had three straight top fives, including a win. So yeah, it's not like this is just all of a sudden happening. In America, it is obviously, but his game has come back since he didn't have a good 2022. Don't get me wrong, by his standards and by our standards of him, you know, competing at like US Opens and tough courses. But this is going to be a tough course. I want to play Tommy Fleetwood. He's playing well coming in. I didn't have a good Sunday, but I think that was a lot to do with Twitter. Thought he was going to win from like 10 strokes back or whatever he was. So other than that, Denny McCarthy, 9,300, three straight made cuts at this event for him. Come off a 13th place finish. Really good showing at the Players Championship for him. All rounds at or under par for four straight days and probably made a shit ton of money. Hadwin had a great tournament last week too. He finished 13th. He missed the cut at the API, but before that had made a shit ton of cuts in a row. And his course history is kind of weird. 7th miscut, 12th, 1st miscut, 71st. So it's kind of like boom or bust. So he would be more of a GPP play for me than cash. And then Davis Riley at 9,000. I mean, finished second here last year. He did miss the cut. The Players, you know, Friday was tough depending on when you went out. So I get it. But he was 8th at the API, which I would lean more on that than the Players this week anyways. So, yeah, that's it for me in the 9K range there.
And something that you just said there, a lot of the stuff I'm looking at is how guys did at the API and the Honda. I'm kind of the Players Championship. They played well there. It's a bonus to me, but I'm not going to hold that one against them.
I'm with you.
It comes down to.
There was a weather. We didn't even talk about the weather. There was a you know, difference.
Yeah, which, you know, of course, it's Florida, so it can change. But literally, like, even Wednesday night, that wasn't there.
And then and Friday gets completely postponed, and those guys get to go back out. Yeah. In soft, completely soft conditions. So it was just kind of a look of the draw, a little bit there.
A little bit for sure. All right. For me in the 9K range, I like Tommy as well at 98. It's tough to stomach that price tag with some of the other players in this field, but yeah. I get it. I think a low owned player that intrigues me is Justin Rose. He's 10th in my model. He's second in the 175 to 200 proximity, third in bogey avoidance, 12th in good drives, 13th in approach. Like, he's just doing enough right now in the last 12 rounds. You know, with missed cut and a T5 here, the last two times he's played in 21 and 18, he's not a regular here. That's Justin Rose. But sixth of the players, missed a cut at the Arnold Palmer, missed a cut at the Genesis. He obviously won at Pebble. It's like, what Justin Rose are we getting? That's the million.
Yeah, question. I'm with you. That's what I kept thinking whenever he was in, like, they were showing a shit ton of his shots on Sunday. I'm like, where was this a couple weeks ago when I played you?
Yeah, and it's like, I'm not surprised he finishes high, but at the same time, it's like you said, where were you the last two times out? Like, what are we doing here? So I think he makes for a good GPP play at 96. I think he goes pretty much unrostered in this range. So I like him. I want to play Keegan. I just can't stomach Keegan. Like, he's seventh in my model, first in the 175 range. I can't do it. I like Denny. Really like Hadron at 92. Doesn't rate out perfect. He's 67th in my model. It's not great, but this is more of the history, like you mentioned. It's like missed cut or boom, which is what I like a lot. And just his form coming in, you know, he had a good track record at the Players, 13th, missed cut at the Palmer, 66th at the Genesis, 10th at Phoenix. Phoenix is another course he plays well at. So courses we've seen him finish well at, he's played well at this year. So that's kind of an angle I want to go to with Hadwin on this one. And then Riley at 9,000, I got checked off. He's going to be very popular. I've heard his name everywhere. It's been tweeted everywhere. Going to be super popular, so I don't know how much Davis Riley I'm going to have, especially because I want to play the next guy, which is going to be super popular at $8,900. He's somehow, to me, way too cheap in this field, and that is Justin Suh at $8,900. You got Wyndham Clark at 88, McNeely 87, Woodland 86, Brandon Wu at 85, Griffin at 84, Taylor Moore at 83, Aaron Rye withdrew already. That just happened about an hour and a half ago. JT Poston at 81 and KH Lee at 8,000. This whole range, I could see arguments for anybody you want there. So yeah. What do you like?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Sue, you know, at 89, the guy's just playing out of his mind right now. Sixth, 24th, and fifth in his last three starts. All of those in Florida, all of those PGA Tour events. Just solid. I think you're right. I mean, he's never played here, which is the only thing that kind of gives me a little bit of, you know, some trepidation about him, but he's going to be highly owned. So take that for what you will. Wyndham Clark missed cut 60th, 37th in his last three appearances here. Has not missed a cut since the Sanderson Farms, which is pretty insane for Wyndham Clark.
Yep.
Brandon Wu at 8,500, 33rd here last year, two straight top 20s for him on tour, both of them in Florida. Ben Griffin at 8,400. I played him last week. Luckily, kind of saved the week. I had him on the same team as Scheffler, and the team sucked, but it min cashed. I had 2 6-of-6s out of three lineups. I got one min cash out of it.
Someone in our Slack chat, our Discord, 20 maxed, and I think he said he had 2 6-of-6s, not even cash.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, it was a tough week.
And then Dirework, who's in there, has a 4 or 6 that cashed.
Oh, God. It was all about finishing position.
Pretty much, 100%.
You know, there toward the end, if you didn't have anybody high up. But Ben Griffin, three straight made cuts on tour. He did finish 35th at the Players, 14th at the API, 21st Honda Classic. Fall swing is really good for him. So I love Ben Griffin at 8,400. I wish Aaron Rye wouldn't have withdrawn. I was going to check his name off too. Other than that,
when I saw that,
what are you thinking?
Outside of the view wanting Aaron Rye on this one, which I predicted right out the gate, I love Justin Suh at 89. I'm with you there. And I love Wyndham Clark. I like both these guys. Like, I would lock button them in. I'm worried how popular they'll both be, but both current forms are just ridiculous. And Wyndham, like, if I have to pick the two, if Wyndham Clark's lower owned, I can only have one, I'll take Wyndham because I think he's actually playing really, really good golf as well. He's just going to get overlooked by Suh. Suh's fourth in my model. He's fifth in approach, second tee to green, fourth on the par threes, 200 to 225, just lights out. If you have to pick a flaw with Wyndham Clark, it's his par three scoring from 200 plus is at 117 in the field. It's bad, really, really bad. But everything else is pretty good. I like Gary Woodland a ton as well. He's second in my model, third off the tee, third in good drives, third tee to green. He's just hitting the ball really well right now. Was one here before. Brandon Wu, I like. Ben Griffin, I like for reasons you mentioned. Taylor Moore could be a fun one. He's 29th in my model. He's a guy that missed the cut here last year in his debut, but coming in with the 35th and the 39th the last 2 weeks at the Players and at Arnold Palmer, 14th at Phoenix with a missed cut of Genesis in the middle there. So Taylor Moore could be another potentially low-owned one in this range. So, yeah, I like this $8,000 range quite a bit. And I could see me putting two or three of these guys in a lot of my lineups if I can make it all work out. Benny on at 79, Vic Perez at 78, Jaeger 78, the amateur Adberg, Ludvig Adberg at 77, Johnny Vegas, who just trunk slammed on Friday at 77, Lashley 76, Taylor 76, Higo 76, Ashke Bhatia 75, Domin 75, Will Gordon, and Robbie Shelton at 75. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, the Jaeger, your boy. I played him last week. Huh?
Jaeger bombs.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that he made the cut, and then he had a really good Sunday. I think he shot three or four under on Sunday. Two under, excuse me. Yeah, not even close. Two straight missed cuts for him here, though, so I don't know how that really feels, but three straight on tour. Victor Perez, like, is number one in my model. Been playing over in on the European tour. Hasn't played since January, according to this. I don't know if he's been on the Corn Ferry Tour or not. Nate Lashley at 7,600. Finished 27th here last year. Coming off a made cut, the Players. Played Puerto Rico, finished third. Playing really solid golf right now. Will Gordon had a solid week as well for Will Gordon. He finished 54th. He just kind of had like, really just couldn't get under par, but made the cut, had one really good round. Three straight made cuts for him on tour, all in Florida, obviously liking it down there. So that's where I'm looking at. I'd like to play Bhatia as well. Mm-hmm. He did miss the cut here last year. I feel like he'll be probably pretty high owned.
Yeah. There's chalk I like, and then there's $7,500 chalk, which I'll probably avoid. Is what that comes down to. That was the Keegan Bradley last week. But then again, Keegan's different than Oshkay, let's be honest, as well.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm with you there. I haven't checked off just to keep an eye on come Wednesday. But, you know, you got Joel Domin, who's playing bad golf right now. But, you know, if I have to look – if I need a 75, Domin, Gordon, even Shelton, I take cheaper or ownership-wise over Oshkay. Preferably Higo at 76. He's 13th in my model, playing some pretty decent golf right now. If you go to break it down – 44th of the Players, missed cut of the Arnold, 29th at Honda. So he's hit some of these good, tough courses up pretty well. And at 76, first time here. I like your Lashley call quite a bit. He's first in my model, which says a lot. Fifth on those par threes we're looking at, second in par five scoring over the last 12 rounds. He's hit 14th in good drives. So Lashley's on the board. I don't mind the amateur Ludvig Adberg as well. He's interesting. And I got Jaeger Bites checked off. The only other one I'll mention in this range, just like I said, I like the eights and sevens quite a bit, at least options here. Binion is a guy I wanted to mention here. Didn't play here last year, 67th, missed cut in 18, 49th and 17th. So not the best of finishes here. 35th last week, withdrew at the API because his wife was having a child. And then he had 21st at Honda. So he was playing good on the Corn Ferry, coming in pretty decent form right now. Binion's very interesting to me at $7,900.
So I agree.
I keep an eye on 7K to 74. Who you like him?
Ben Martin at 7,400. Two straight made cuts for him, but that was 2018, 2017. He has three straight made cuts on tour, including a fifth place finish at the Honda Classic, made the cut last week at the Players. Tyler Duncan, surprisingly, got a little bit of airtime at the Players. They were showing some kind of random people on there. Made the cut last week, finished third at the Honda Classic, and has two consecutive made cuts here. He's two out of four overall making the cut at this event, but the last two he's made the cut and finished 25th here last year. So T-Dunk's there. Gerard at 7,300 has never played here, but played Puerto Rico, finished 11th, played the Honda Classic, finished fourth. He's the one who Monday queued into the Honda Classic, correct?
Honda Classic, yep.
Yeah. And then turned that into a top 11 there at the Puerto Rico Open. So 7,300 like him. Naismith at 72. His course history is pretty good. Third here last year, 21st the year before that. But current form is a little wonky. Miscut, 39th, miscut in his last four starts. Not great. Hickok at 7,200. Three of three made cuts at this event and has made the last three cuts for him on tour. And last but not least, Stuart Sink, $7,000.
To go.
Played around here a lot. Finished seventh here last year. Missed the cut the year before that. But two made cuts in the years before that. He has missed three consecutive cuts on tour. So do with that what you would like.
Yeah, this is good. Ben Martin at 74. He hasn't played here since 2018, 48th, 52nd the year before, coming in with 54th of the players, fifth at the Honda. So he's a guy to take keep an eye on. Pearson Cootie, who people will laugh at, but he's finished 63rd at the Honda, kind of fell apart on the weekend, 14th at the API. So he's another guy to keep an eye on, first time playing here, of course. David Lingmerth is 32nd in my model, second approach, 13th in good drives, finished phenomenally at the players. That's why it's funny. Sixth the players, but 70th API, 10th at the Honda. Maybe he's a Florida man.
I'm with you, dude. Like, where did he come from?
Yeah, hasn't played here since 2018, finished 64, 27th in 2017. It was like, I can't ignore it. Like, it's legitimately happening.
Right.
So it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's confusing. Like you mentioned Gerard, I think him and Eric Cole, both like great stories from the Honda, both in play here. Like Gerard's eighth on my model, Cole's 20th. This is a total GPP range. Like I got, if you're doing 20 matches, I pencil in so many guys here. Love T-Dunks, had him checked off. Yeah, Sam Ryder in here if you're feeling like he can bounce back. You've seen him flash at all the moments. Got Neesmith checked off, have Hickok checked off. The other guy is Bramlett. Is a guy I look at. He's played pretty well here in the past, 48th and 63rd the last 2 years. So he's made two straight cuts. Ben Taylor was playing great recently. If you want to look at current form, same with SH Kim and Adam Shank. Like they don't rate out well. I just want to bring them up because of recent form, not that you need to. Like Shank missed the cut here at the players, but then he was making cut after cut after cut. Same with SH Kim. So just a couple guys I wanted to mention if you want some recent form guys that maybe you get a low ownership because they struggle at the player. So people will see that and just see the recent missed cut and realize, hey, before that they made like three or four or more straight cuts. Might be someone to keep an eye on at low ownership. Do a sneak in there at cheap price. 6K range. What are you looking at?
First of all, I thought Harry Hall was at like 6,900, but he's at 7,000. I like Harry Hall this week as well. Finished seventh in Puerto Rico in his last start. Other than that, Dylan Wu at 6,800. Missed a cut here last year, but is coming off a 35th place finish at the Players' Championship. Has made four straight cuts on tour. Smotherman at 6,600. Finished 25th here last year. 35th at the Players. Tano Goya has never played here, but finished 11th at Puerto Rico his last time out. 55th at the Honda, and that's five consecutive made cuts for him on tour. And I mean, there's some other guys down here you could click on. I do like those three names in particular, Goya and Dylan Wu, quite a bit.
I like Dylan Wu a lot, so I'm with you on that one at $6,800. He's made three straight cuts, like you mentioned, 35th, 48th, 10th at the Honda. I think Cheston Hadley, 44th the players, 29th the Honda, missed cut at Genesis, 23rd at Phoenix. He's another guy you can take a peek at. Zach Johnson, as much as I think it's funny, 68th at the API, 12th at Honda, 32nd at Phoenix. Like, cheap cut maker. I don't know how high he'll finish, but he's a cheap cut maker if you want that. Vincent Norman's another guy, 21st in Puerto Rico, 63rd at the Honda. Kevin Tway was playing well. I like the Smotherman call. You mentioned Goya, so I'll mention Augusto Nunez, 15th at Puerto Rico, 71st at the Honda. I was looking at him some more just for fun because I was like, I didn't want to check him off. They don't want to check him off. I'm like, well, okay, why does he keep rating out so well? Your rates are great because of Puerto Rico stats, basically. But he's like 48th at Pebble. He was 31st at the Farmers. Missed at the Amex, 41st at Sony. So, like, Farmers and Sony weren't like scrub fields. So
he
finished well there, which kind of stood out to me. And then he did really well on the Corn Ferry, like last June and July, like really, really well on the Corn Ferry. So he's a guy to, I guess, if like totally feeling, you know, goofy, go for it. Other than that, I don't want a ton down here if I can avoid it. Like there's some other long, long shots options. If you want them, hit me up in the Discord. I don't want to be down here. So let's just go that direction. But yeah, that's where I stop. Woo would be my favorite for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, who you got?
Spieth.
Yeah, I'm with you on Spieth. 9K range.
Fleetwood.
I'm going to go Justin Rose. No, I don't say that confidently. 8K range.
Ben Griffin.
I could play this whole range. I'll say Justin Suh, but he's going to be chalky as hell. It's a good range. 75 to 79.
Lashley.
You got Lashley. I will go Benny on. 7K to 74.
T-Dunks.
Should I say Lingmerth just to throw his whole thing in a whack? One guy I didn't mention was Trey Mullinax. He's playing really good golf, too. You took T-Dunk, so I like that call quite a bit. To be different, I'll go Ryan Gerard. To be different, let's get real weird. Give me Ryan.
I was going to say, I'll take Gerard.
Ryan Gerard.
T-Dunks. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I'm going to take Dylan Wu in the 6K. You want to take him with me?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's the deal. Like, I don't want nobody else, but I don't have to. Down in the 6K right. range. If you are playing cash this week, and I kind of feel you could, actually, it's 144 golfer field. Maybe we'll finish on a Friday afternoon this week.
Doubtful.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. who you got for three cash game players?
Probably Justin, Sue, Brandon Wu, maybe Ben Griffin. I mean, you can just live right there in the 8K to just 100%. High sevens. Ben on is borderline. I mean, like at that price in this field with the way he's been playing and his course history.
Yep. Yep, I'm with you. Like, if you want a 9K guy, I'd take Adam Hadwin right now. Like a low 9K guy, but like Justin Suh, Wyndham Clark, Gary Woodland, like you name it, just live in that 8K range. And I'd hope you'd at least get 5 out of 6, and that should be good enough for your cash lineup. GPP, though, how are you getting different? What are the three guys you're looking at in GPPs?
Yeah, I mean, I would go like maybe start with like somebody like Denny McCarthy. To be different, and then you're going to go Ben Griffin, and then I would swing down and get somebody like Ash K. Bhatia at 75, or if you wanted to go to Gerard. I think this is a good week to like leave a lot of money on the table.
And that's weird. The first thing I thought of when I looked at pricing at like 8 o'clock this morning or 9 o'clock, whenever it came out, like I just opened it up. I'm like, I literally could just like live in the sevens and eights and low nines and leave $1,000 on the table and mm-hmm. walk away. Not a problem
right. at all.
And be totally fine with that. If I'm starting a GPP, I'll do Justin Rose, who I think comes in low owned in this field, Gary Woodland, and Benny on. Let's go that direction. All right. Let's make some golf bets or talk about some golf bets here. Valspar Championship, JT at 11-1, Spieth 12-1, Burns 16, Fitz 18. Those are your favorites this week. Any prices standing out to you?
Yeah, I mean, Tommy at 25. I think that's got some value to it. I think Fitzpatrick at 18 is not terrible. I know talked a little bit about his injury, so I don't super know about that. Otherwise, I'm not the best golf handicapper when it comes to odds here, but Ben on at 60, maybe. I could see that. Sam Ryder at 80. I mean, we didn't mention him earlier, but he was playing really well earlier in the year, so never know. Ash K at 90. I mean, this dude's won a shit ton on the Corn Ferry Tour, so
he's doing very, very well there. Man, Webb Simpson's still 73. He's got my attention.
Should be 173.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some others, and yeah, your boy T-Dunks at 100-1, Lingworth. Oh my god,
you're gonna end up having 100% Lingworth.
No, god, that never ends well ever. yeah, it's tough to see the long shots. Like, I could see long shots winning here just because the way this tournament works, but yeah. Like, maybe Brandon Wu at 55, Ben Griffin at 50, those kind of long shots, Gary Woodland at 40. I like those kind of angles. Wyndham Clark at 35, you got Justin Suh at 35. Like that 30 to 60 range, you could probably have – it's like the 8K range. So have at it, kids,
yeah,
and see where things go. All right, final thoughts for the Valspar this week.
I don't. It's a good week to save some money, especially with NCAA March Madness starting up on Thursday. Probably be more interested in that than the Valspar, to be honest with you.
And I will plug it. I know you guys don't need to. If you listen to this show, you probably know who Pat Mayo is, of course. But he's doing an awesome free pool, March Madness bracket pool. Every entry gets $1 to Fantasy Cares, up to $25,000, and the winner gets $2,500 plus some other stuff.
Free.
I didn't even watch college basketball this year, but I'll go fill one out. It's free, and it goes to a good cause. So I just want to plug that. If you guys, for some reason, don't like college basketball, we'll go find some girl somewhere and tell her to pick mascots or something. I don't care. Just go fill one out. It's $1 to a good cause.
Yep.
So check that out. All right. Who do you got winning it?
The whole thing?
Yeah, March Madness.
Alabama. I have like the worst.
Are they good this year?
Yeah, they're the best team.
I used to live on college basketball. I have zero clue right now.
Yeah, so I have like the worst case scenario Final Four right now for somebody who is a Kentucky fan such as myself, and it's Alabama, Duke, Indiana, and UCLA. or Kansas. Kansas in there too. I mean, absolutely just the stone cold nuts worst. So I hope Kentucky surprises me, but my hopes are at an all time low as far as starting an NCAA tournament.
That's not good. Well, no, you could be not. North Carolina though.
Yeah, not even North Carolina. Decline an NIT invite.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Be better than that, guys.
Right.
But all right. People listen to us for golf, but that's just what we do. check out Jesse on the Twitter there at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. This was your 2023 Valspar Championship preview. Catch you guys next time.